Blog Talk Radio.
You are God. God, my God. I know we tried to define you, attempt to describe you. Hard to exemplify your work. Even I call you great, and there's nobody greater. But sometimes I just should call upon your name. In your name there is safety and security, and whosoever calls on you can be saved. Oh God, your name has so much strength. Your name alone is strong. For you are God.
Your name is strong.
Your name is strong.
Good evening to you, and welcome to Tuesday's night episode of the Pioneers Table. We count it an honor that you come to sit around the table with us once again on this evening. We pray that your day has been blessed. We pray that favor has found you, amen, and has walked with you all the day long, amen. I'm excited about the rest of your life as well as mine. God has shown himself mighty once again, and I've just come to find out it is the small things in life that God does that just confirms that he is on your side and that he hears your prayers, not only just our prayers, but our thoughts. Have you ever had a thought, something you hadn't quite prayed about it yet, but you just thought about it, and before you could even fix your lips to even pray about it, God had already sent confirmation even to your thought process. That is a mighty good God right there, and I love him on today. I love him not just for the things that he's done or for what he's doing, but simply because of who he is. He loves us without an evil motive. He loves us without manipulation, but he loves us with a true love, with a pure love. And that's something that money cannot buy. Amen. So we bless God that you were able to come, amen, and partake in this evening episode of the Pioneers Table. Today we're going to talk about something a little bit different. Amen. It does fall along in the lines of things that we have already been discussing, but it takes it to a whole nother level. And I want to talk about the fruit of the Spirit, not just in general, but we want to deal with it in the leaders first. Amen. I've been receiving a lot of phone calls and a lot of emails about, you know, leaders and sheep of the church, and, you know, how we approach certain situations and how we talk to people, you know, whether we're listening to them or not. And these are things that we're facing in the church from people. And because people that are in places of authority and in positions of authority do not know how to talk to one another, because clearly they're the pastor or they're the prophet or they're the one that birthed the ministry, so it's their way or no way at all, you have the people that have decided to come under you that does not mind submitting to the vision or to the mission, but they may have ideas, or, you know, they might fall down, or, you know, they might make a mistake. And instead of loving them back into a place of encouragement, you know, we have some of that, you know, we sit and we make whole sermons off of one person's mistake, or, you know, we sit and we beat other people down in their places of where they're already in a ditch, instead of praying them through and instead of helping them come out of the dark place that they are in. We as leaders, we have a responsibility, not just to take up tithes and offerings, but we have a responsibility to love literally the hell out of people. We have a responsibility to make sure that the people that are following us, that they get to their destination. We have a responsibility to make sure that the people that follow us, that they are greater than we are. Amen. It's not a season for jealous leaders, or you don't want anybody to be greater than you are. If you have people following you, you cannot be considered successful until you raise up one that is greater than you. Amen. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Somebody has to be able to supersede the work that you have done. Amen. And we have the body of Christ now in this day and age where we have so many hurt feelings and so many emotions that are running rapid through the church and running rapid through our homes and running through the ministry, that it's no longer even about God. Now it's all about competition and who has the biggest church and who can prophesy the best and who has the right word and, you know, who's wearing what and who can preach. And it shouldn't even be about any of those things, right? We have to get our principles in order first. So that leads me, I just want to give you a scripture, you know, for some of our little traditional people, amen, of Galatians, the 5th chapter, we get at the 22nd through the 23rd verse. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." You have to have all of these fruits, amen, to be on display in your life. Okay? The fruit, amen, F-R-U-I-T, the fruit of the Spirit, are all of the things that I just named. So when we're dealing with people, when we're dealing with situations, when we're dealing with circumstances that arises in our life, okay, we have to have love on display, Joy has to be on display. Peace has to be on display. Long-suffering has to be on display. Gentleness, goodness, and faith, those things have to be on display. Meekness and temperance, those things as well, they must be on display. When someone comes up to you or they're lying on you or whatever it is that you may be going through, your flesh may want to grab somebody by their voice box and just strangle them half to death. Okay, well, negative Ghost Rider, that is not what you need to be doing. You need to have the fruit of the Spirit on display in your life, whether someone is there watching you or whether you are all by yourself. I made a post on my Facebook page earlier today, and I posted what I heard the Holy Spirit say, to stop yelling and intimidating people from across the pulpit. Okay, being loud does not make you powerful. It doesn't mean that you have power. It doesn't mean that you're anything special. It doesn't mean that you're anything great. It only means that you are merely trying to operate in an area that you have not been anointed to operate in. You know, you put on some shoes that are too big for you, and now you're just flopping around and making a whole lot of noise, and it's no chains breaking. There's no deliverance going forth. There's no truth being told. There's no gospel going out to captivate people, and merely because we just don't know how to talk to one another. You know, I have heard so many, and it's always the prophets that are always about, well, I heard such and such said this about me, or this person said that about me, and I'm just like, well, and you wear this title in front of your name. You know, you're supposed to be a prophet, and you're the first ones whining and crying about what the next person has supposedly said. You know, it's the body of Christ that's always talking about, oh, well, I don't feel like nobody's doing this, and always whining and complaining about what the next person is doing or is not doing, whining and complaining and crying about what the next person is saying or not saying. Who cares? If you're that in tune with God, if you're that in sync with Him, why do you come off the wall to figure out what somebody else is saying about you? Well, 9 times out of 10, whatever is being said is a lie anyway. Nobody ever really said it. You just have your ear lent to somebody's lips that's not telling you the truth. And instead of seeking out God and seeking out the truth, you would rather believe a lie. You rather hold on to the gossip because that's more entertaining than searching God out or searching that word out for yourself. But we hear from God. But we caught up in all of this he say stuff. I've never heard or seen so much turmoil take place in the ministry the way it is in 2015. And then we wonder why the churches are empty. And we wonder why nobody wants to hear about Christ. Because they're looking at the so-called believer's life, and they're matching it up, and they're saying that, you know what, I'm better off where I am. Who wants to come over to this so-called winning side when they have more drama in the church than we do in the club? It's more drama in ministry than it is in the street. Come on now, that doesn't even add up. And we're not displaying the fruit of the Spirit. We have no characteristics of God, but we're claiming that He's our Father. Well, if He's our Father, then we should look like Him. We should be talking like Him. We should be walking like Him. Well, nobody's perfect, but you can try. You don't have to be perfect to be uncompromised. And you can make sure that sin is not willingly resting upon your shoulders. You know, you can stop lusting and coveting after what other people have. You know, it's not that hard to live that upright. Yeah, you're going to make mistakes. Yeah, we're going to fall. But get up. Don't sit there and wallow in it. You know, the prodigal son, he came to himself. You know, people, I was talking about the prodigal son, how he came back home. The prodigal had nothing to do with him coming back home. Prodigal means wasteful. It means that you're wasting. That he wasted his inheritance. He wasted what his father gave to him. Prodigal had nothing to do with him going and coming. It had something to do with him wasting what was given to him. So we have a lot of prodigal people, a lot of prodigal sons and daughters, not because they've left our ministries, but because they're wasting. They're wasting the oil that has been imparted into them. But how did they feel that they were able to go out there and flap their wings and fly all by themselves? What part as leaders do we play in that? Are we really doing our part? Are our hands really free from blood? Or do we have some kind of responsibility? No, they can go on. You don't want to be here, then go ahead about your business. Yeah, after a certain while, you know, I will gladly make the announcement that if the day ever come where the Pioneer's Table is not feeding you or where Myrtle Tree Ministries is not feeding you, if that day ever comes, then please, with my blessings, find you a place where you can grow. Do not stay with me. Do not stay with Bishop. Do not stay under this tutelage and you're not growing. Because you will never, ever, ever blame your stuntness on this ministry. If the day ever comes where you feel like you can't grow under us, then that is the day that we, with love, show you the exit with God's speed. But if you come and say, God led me to this ministry, God planted me here, and then you pick up and you leave because you're in your feelings, because you done got rebuked, then that's a whole other story. Because no matter where you go or how you get there, the same thing is going to be waiting. You have to submit your gift to a house. You have to submit yourself to someone in this earth realm. That is the order of God. Okay, it's enough renegades out here that woke up one morning and decided we had it all together and we're going to go out here and we're going to start a church. You have to have more than a gut feeling. Okay, you have to have a complete sound word and direction from Jesus Christ. And you can't do it just sitting around watching YouTube all day. Okay, you have to be sowing and working somewhere. We have to have principles of the kingdom. We have to be displaying the fruit of the Spirit. And when you display the fruit of the Spirit, fruit will begin to be born in your life. You'll find yourself being more patient. You'll find yourself being more giving. You'll find yourself being more loving. You'll find yourself having more compassion. And you'll find yourself that, you know what, I've been in this storm for a long time now, but you know what, it's okay. I got enough grace that I can make it a little while longer. You're not running trying to find a way out of everything, but you have a spirit of endurance that, you know what, I'm going to fight this fight like a good soldier. I'm going to do this. I'm going to stay in the race. I'm not going to quit because I'm getting tired. I'm not going to quit because I'm losing my breath. I want to pace myself because you know what's important to me? Not coming in first, but crossing the finish line. I want to be able to say that I finished something. You should want to be able to say I finished something. I started something and I finished it. I might have went through some things along the way, but I'm finishing this thing that I'm starting because the Bible says that any man that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy. He's not fit for the kingdom. Which that tells me that we don't need to be looking back. Yeah, we done all been through some things. We all have a story and a friend, okay? But we don't need to be living back in yesterday. Yesterday's news should not be our today, tomorrow, the next day. It shouldn't be in our future. It's in yesterday that we look back, and if we do ever expound on it, it's only from an avenue of experience. Not a place of your reality, not of your right now. You can use it as something to pull somebody out of a situation that they're in, pull somebody else out of something that they've been going through. It's not for us to sit and live in bondage and live in a place of brokenness and scared to be happy. The devil is a liar. I want you to think about the ties that you have with people in your life right now. If the tie that binds you together is drama, turmoil, and strife, you need to sever those ties right now. Right now, because if you are in a relationship with someone, or if you're, whether it be whatever, a work relationship, a church relationship, whatever kind of relationship it is, if it's drama and turmoil and strife that binds you together, you need to sever those ties. Because if somebody fell out with the next one, it's only a matter of time before they fall out with you behind the same thing. Get you some kingdom connections. Hook up with somebody that can see where you are going. Hook up with somebody that sees the fruit that is being born in your life. Somebody that has the same tenacity that you have. Match yourself up in the spirit, okay? That way you don't have nobody that's beating down on you all the time, or nobody that doesn't understand you and they always criticize you and always making a mock out of the things that God shows you, out of the things that God speaks to you. And you have somebody that can be on the same wavelength with you and that they won't mind you growing. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. We have to love people. You can't beat them up all the time. People know when they have done wrong. They know when they've fallen short of the glory without us telling them. They don't need to be reminded. They already know. It is our position to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness and love. They don't need you yelling at them, telling, well, you this, and this. You might be a spiritual mother or father, but you're not the natural mother or father. And what thing have you done? What makes us so great that we stand up and hold our head up so high that we're on this pedestal that is so high that we can look down on other people and beat them beyond the point of where they are already broken? The devil is a lie. You don't have that authority. You need to sit back and check your own spirit. Because if you're not winning nobody to Christ, if you're not telling them about the love of Jesus Christ, and if you're not restoring them, if you're not bearing their infirmities, and you're supposed to be stronger than they are, then we need to check ourselves. We're supposed to be leaders. We have a responsibility and an obligation to make sure that we don't just cross the finish line, but everybody that started with us that is committed to finish, that they cross the finish line as well. They might not come in first, but we just want you to come into a place that God has prepared for you, into your set place. Not giving up because you dropped the baton a couple of miles back and nobody was there to help you pick it up, or somebody picked up your baton and beat you in the head with it, or you can't do it, and you did it, and you did it. And that's nagging. Nobody wants to be nagged on. You're supposed to love people. Love them back into good health. Love them back into their rightful place. Love them. And if you cannot minister love, then you don't need to be in a position of leadership. Because when you're in a position of leadership, you hold people's spiritual well-being in the palm of your hand. But we are not God. We don't have a heaven or hell to put anybody in. All you can do is lovingly show a person the way. And the choice is theirs. Well, I'm not going to go because it's just, I'm not going to, no. No, that was the problem when I think about the woman with the issue of blood. You know, her issue, the more I read it, you know, if you keep reading certain things over and over again, you get a different revelation out of it every time. I don't care if you read it 1,000 times. You can read it 1,001 times and that will be another revelation. But the issue, well, one of her issues was, besides the issue of blood that she had, she had to press past a people that felt like Jesus didn't need to be talking to her anyway. She had to press past opinions. She had to press past people. People were an issue. Because he was like, Jesus, come on, we don't even have time for it. We're on our way to go see somebody else. We don't have time for this right here. She's not even one of us. No. That is an issue. You have people that are trying to get to you. Who is holding that person back? Who is holding them away that they have to press through a crowd just to get to you? When we should be fully accessible, not just sit around talking on the phone all day and listen to the same old thing over and over again. That's not what I'm saying. But in the spirit, we should be accessible. We should be praying for the people that God has given us, the people that God has entrusted them to our hands. We should know what's going on in their lives. I don't talk to them every day, but you better know that I know what's going on in their life because God shows me, because I'm in prayer for them constantly. For my sons and daughters, I'm praying for them. I know what's going on in their lives. And it'd be so funny when they'd be telling me stuff, and I don't even tell them that I already know. I just let them talk because they just be wanting to get stuff off of their chest. And I just let them talk, and I let them vent, and I let them talk about whatever it is that they. But because I love them, I'm praying for them constantly. And God shows me avenues in their life. God shows me when they're at crossroads. God shows me when they are trying to make a major decision, when they're choosing, you know, do I do this or do I do that? And sometimes I want to pick up the phone and say, do this or no. But that it's on them to make the right decision or to either make the wrong decision. And if they make the wrong decision, they come to me and they say, Mom, I messed up. My position is to restore them, not to beat them. Not to tell them, oh, well, you done messed up and you can't do this and you're not going to do it. That's not my place. Now, if they're out here and they're doing something, you know, you're supposed to be leaders, you know, we're supposed to be pastors and prophets and apostles, and we're out here living any and everything but holy, then, yeah, I'm coming for you. Okay, honey, it's time to sit down and regroup and repent. But if you have somebody that you know is trying, somebody that you know is putting forth their best effort, our position is to not get in front of them and pull them, but it's to get behind them and push them. Okay? We're supposed to be raising up. If you do not have a successor, you are not successful. If you don't have somebody to pass your baton to, you are not a successful person. That sounds harsh, but it's reality. And I'm not judging, I'm telling you the truth. Every successful person has to have somebody to say that if something happened to me right now, I know that this person, A, B, or C, could pick up the baton and run with it. Now I stand there and look at, well, what do I do next? Well, what do I do? That's why you always be raising up somebody. Because we don't know what tomorrow holds. We know who holds tomorrow, but we don't know what's waiting on us tomorrow. You know, you might have to fly out of the state, or, you know, heaven forbid, death might come knock on your door. Or, you know, you have to may not be able to do what it is that you think that you're supposed to be doing. You have to have somebody that can stand in your shoes, stand in the gap, not in your shoes. I take that back. You wear your own shoes. Everybody wear their own shoes. Praise God. You have to have somebody that can be able to stand in your stead and do the thing that God has called them to do. And not just do it, but to do it with excellence. So we have to build people up, people of God. We have to build them up. We have to stop beating up on them because we are not the only ones. Because if our legacy dies, when we die, then we've done nothing but waste our time and breath. But we should be transferring every moment that you get. You should be transferring the thing that God gives you. You should be imparting it into someone else. Raise up leaders. I heard the woman of God say on Sunday, leaders are not born, they are cultivated. They're cultivated through experiences. And, you know, God knew me before I was formed in my mother's womb. He had predestined me, he had ordained me. Yes, God, he did. But even with that, he knew me before my experience, and he knew me after my experience. And when I was born, I was born unexperienced. And I had to live life to get to where I am today. I was telling my spiritual mother, I was like, Mama, before I met her, everything that I know, everything that I've learned, everything that I operate in right now, people God, I'm not lying to you. It was through trial and error. It wasn't because somebody sat me down and taught me that this is the way, you know, would you do this way, and, you know, you do. Nobody taught me that. People would teach me to a certain extent. They would teach me until they saw me growing. And then once they saw me growing, they would become intimidated. And I did not understand that. I didn't. Then, you know, they'll find some kind of way to fall. Like, ever had anybody like that? You know, they be teaching you, and then once you start learning for real, they find a reason to fall out with you so they don't have to teach you no more. Well, you know what I tell them, people? I don't stop growing because you fell out with me. That just gives me another experience that when I get to my set place, I know what not to do. And I've been in ministries where I have been manipulated, mistreated, lied on, talked about, drugged through the mud. And you know what? In the beginning, all of that spewed out. It spewed out of me from behind the pulpit because I was angry, I was bitter, and I was hurt. And I didn't think that I was supposed to talk to anybody about those things. So I just carried it around because, after all, who was going to listen to me? Who was going to help me get to this next place? So it spewed out from behind the pulpit, you know. And then the Lord, he healed me up. He said, look, you can't be hurting my people like this. I was giving them a right word, but I didn't deliver it in love. I delivered it in judgment. And that was not my place. And after God get through whooping on you and you get through taking a dose of your own medicine, you'll change it up. Stop being so hateful. Because it don't come off as love. It comes off as just being hateful, a hateful, miserable, bitter person. And that's not what you want attached to your name. You're talking about some international, you go into the nation and you hateful. The devil is a liar. It's enough hateful people out here. We don't need to elevate no more. Learn some love. Get some love in your life. Now, some people, they're just miserable in their homes, and they have no control over what goes on in their own home, or they have no control over what takes place in their marriage, so they find the first weakest link, and they manipulate and control it. Mm-mm. But it's no more that. Not if I see them coming forward, and I'm going to behead it. I'm taking the head off. Thank you, Holy Ghost. We need to be walking in love, encouraging one another. something happening to where it's not going down your, it's not going down your alley, you're not appreciating it, or somebody lying on you, you know what? You suck it up and you move on. Take it to the Lord in prayer and leave it there. You know, you waiting to see your fruit come to pass. Stop fondling with the seed. Put it in the ground and leave it alone. Ask people what they want. Don't just take it upon yourself. Well, I'm the pastor. I'm going to get them what I think that they need to have. No. If you're supposed to be sowing into somebody's life, find out what they need. Find out what they want. It may not be money all of the time. It could be just a listening ear. What is it that you're doing that we could do better? That we can make a difference on, so that we can be great in God, not just great, just to, you know, you famous in your neighborhood or you famous in your, but great in God. That when people hear your name, oh, they say, oh yeah, that's a man of God. Oh yes, that's a woman of God right there. Oh yes, she is just so loving. Yes, she's so forgiving. Yes, she's long suffering. Or they say, man, let me tell you about this chick. Man, let me tell you about this dude. Because people talk. They may not talk to you about you, but they still talk about you to somebody else. And, yeah, you're going to always have somebody and that's lying on you. You're going to always have somebody that's slandering your name. But you don't worry about that, okay? Our position as leaders is to walk in the spirit of love. Love. Now, let me tell you, speaking from experience, there are some times when that is easier said than done. But you know what else? I'd rather be on the right side of God than on the wrong side of his hand coming down. Mm-mm. Negative Ghost Rider. You don't want to have to endure that. And if Jesus, if he can forgive us, if he can redeem us, if he can restore us, then we ought to be able to do the same thing to someone else. Restore your sheep. Restore the people that are following you, that think so highly of you. Now, sheep. Yeah, we got the leaders first. Now we're ready to get the sheep. You saying that God placed you in the ministry? Saying God sent me here, God told me to stay. You don't leave just because you get rebuked. You don't leave just because you get mad. Because some people is just frustrated because now we're trying to find out how we're going to work the ministry without your tithes and offerings. We're trying to figure out a way that the vision still go forth without you sowing seed. You have the most opinion, but you're not sowing nothing into the kingdom. You got the most that you want to do and say, but you don't have the principle of giving. Oh, but you're ready to preach and prophesy, but you can't sow. The devil is a liar. Mm-mm. There are principles in the kingdom. It's levels to this thing. And you have to abide by the principles. You have to follow the protocol. You have to operate and move in kingdom order, not in your feelings. Mm-mm. Because we're in a season now that, hey, you either get it or you don't. If you don't want to get it, if you can't submit to the rules of the house, then guess what? You need to give up your seat because there is somebody that would love to be where you're at, to be taught the things that you're being taught, to be given the opportunity to be used in the kingdom. There's somebody out there, they want it. And so don't just take up space and you're not going to do nothing. I'm hearing all the time how the church is supposed to be the hospital. Well, if the church is the hospital, then accept the treatment plan. You're asking, where are the doctors? We right here. And we writing out prescriptions that you're just sticking over your glove box. You're not taking it to the drugstore to get it filled. Now you won't sit out nowhere and purge. You won't repent of the things that you've done. You won't let nobody build you. You will not accept the treatment plan. You won't accept that there is a problem, but you're in the hospital, but you don't accept that there's something wrong. Come on now, it's a two-way street. Because any leader worth their weight, any leader worth their salt, they're not going to keep pouring their oil into vessels that have holes in them. And if they're not responsible for your holes, they are not going to be keep pouring the same oil trying to mend your broken places, and you don't want it. You have to want this thing. You got to get out of your feelings, and guess what else you have to do? You too as well have to have the fruit of the Spirit on display in your life. Pastors, your leaders, prophets, apostles, we have a lot of stuff that is on our minds nonstop, constantly. We don't have time to deal with little stuff. That's why we put you in position. That's why we put you in place so that you can handle these things. because you want my shoes, you want my seat, and you can't handle the seat that you in. We just make it look good. We just make it look glamorous. But you don't see the scars that we have behind the scenes, the tears that we shed because we're covering you and your family, and you keep running back to the same scenarios. You don't want to embrace change. You don't want to go into another level. You just want to stay in the same place. So then we're torn with moving forward or turning around to come back to get you, to pull you out of Lodabar, and you're willing to stay there. There's a weight to this thing, and we all have a responsibility to love one another, to encourage one another, and to push each other, not into a building, but into greatness. So you can say, yeah, that's my daughter, or that's my son, or yes, that's my pastor, hey, that's my apostle. We're supposed to be building each other up, not competing. Who, why are we competing against each other? Why? We're all supposed to be a part of the kingdom, and we're competing. What? Why? What purpose does it serve? I don't get it. So we need to check ourselves. Amen. We need to check ourselves. We need to check our motives. And we need to get back onto our kingdom assignment. And the fruit of the Spirit needs to be on display in our life. We can't act like the world acts. We can't act like they act. There has to be a difference. There has to be a separation. There has to be a consecration. There has to be a sanctification. You know, there has to be everything can't go in the house of God. Because it's like any hospital is kept at a certain temperature to where germs cannot grow. It's like any hospital. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. It's like any hospital. You have to gown up depending upon what the infection is that's going around. And all of the employees, all of the doctors and the nurses, they have to be in uniform so that you'll know who to come to and ask for help. You go through your triage. State your symptoms. State what's wrong. Put pen to paper. These are my issues. And then let's go into the prayer calls. Let's go into the secret place. Let's go there. Amen. Let's go in together. Let's pray together and let's come out together and let's do kingdom together. It's no long raiders and tontos. You'll get ate up going by yourself. You'll get ate up and spit out. And that's a lonely, harsh feeling. And we don't have time to keep going through that. I don't know about you, but I can't keep going around in the same circles. I know what it is to win. I know what it is to lose. And I know what it is to stay on the wall even when I don't want to. I know what it is to just hang in there. And a lot of times it is easier said than done. But God will always do something. He will always send a word when you're getting weak. He will always send confirmation of his promises. He will always show himself mighty and glorious in the moment that you least expect him to show up. He's going to show up, okay? He's already here. Let him find you doing the work of him and not the work of our flesh. Let him find us ministering love of who he is and why he came and why he died. The real reason why, so that we can be redeemed, so that we can have what is rightfully ours. I am a pilgrim. I am a alien on this earth passing through. You know why? Because there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Yeah, there's some great things to be had here, but this is not what I'm storing up for. I want to enjoy myself while I'm still living, but I'm looking for a city that he promised, and it don't look like this place. It's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. So you can have it if you want it, but I want the new. Praise God. Let the fruit be on display in your life. Okay, that way when the season is right and when you bear fruit, you can look like a fruit and taste like a fruit. Okay? You can be healthy with no worms, not contaminating nobody else. But you will be useful. People will look at you. They'll be able to taste of your fruit, and they will be able to recognize you for who you are. Because we're not going to do ministry bitter. We're not going to do ministry angry. We're not going to do ministry yelling at people. Stop yelling. Save your voice. And let the power of God overtake you. And not the power of anger overstep us. Let the power of God have his perfect work in us. So that we can minister love. That's what people need. They already know that they were when they messed up. I knew every time I failed. I didn't need anybody to tell me. I already knew when I failed. fell short of the glory of God. Even after, like I said, I failed more after being saved than I was out in the world. But to this day, we are uncompromised. I will not compromise the gospel. And if I mess up, I get it right. I repent. I quickly repent. It's all in your repentance. God, I'm sorry. And I don't mean to keep doing the same thing over and over, because when you repent, it means that you turn from that way and you follow after God's way. And you let God do, let him do what he want to do in your life. Stop fighting him. Stop being so angry and yelling at the people from across the pulpit. They're not scared. They're not. They're facing bullets. They're facing guns. They're facing knives. They done been raped, molested. They done went through hell and high water. You yelling ain't doing nothing. But give them a soft answer. The Bible says that a soft answer turns away wrath. Let's walk in love and meekness and in lowliness. And let God be glorified. Let him be magnified. Listen, partner, say, I hope I've said something on tonight and encourage your spirit. Amen. Something that makes us shine the flashlight and the magnifying glass on ourselves. But and I say all that because I want us to be in a position to receive what God is doing. Not what he's going to do, but what he is doing. Favor. I remember last week I said that favor was getting ready to invade your house. It happened in my house. And it wasn't no overflow of money, or it wasn't none of that. But God set something up to where I didn't even need money. Money is going to solve that at the end. But favor got me into the place to get what I need and gave me the time to do what I need to do. And I'm just blown away. And I heard the Spirit of the Lord say that everything that you have prophesied to everybody else, I'm going to bring it to pass in your life. Everything talking about me, everything talking about you, everything you made happen for everybody else, God is getting ready to make happen for you. He's doing it right now, and you're going to see it. So make sure there is nothing like, well, he prophesied that. No, make sure the prophet not lying. Make sure that your life is clean. Make sure that there are gateways that the blessings and the promises of God can come through. Because you can know how to get to the next city, but if there's a traffic jam on the highway, unless you know an alternate route, you can't get through. So make sure that the pathways are clear. You know, no strife, no anger, no sadness, no bitterness, no jacked up characters. You know, none of the stuff that we normally do that comes and hinder ourselves. We hinder ourselves. The prophet not lying. We hinder ourselves. Because the glory cloud has been released. Favor has been released. And if you have not tapped into the thing that God has promised you that you can have, it's time to stop looking at everybody else. And we need to look at ourselves. Oh, yes, we do. We need to look at ourselves. And that takes a strength that can't even be noted. That is a strength that comes from the city of your soul. That, God, I really do want to know what is standing in the way. And if it's me, God, purge me. Get me out of the way. You know, God, thanks for no money, houses, and cars. Ask God to bring the change forth in your life. The money, houses, and cars, all that stuff will come in time. But I tell you, it is nothing to be compared to the glory of God resting on your life. That is something for the books. That's something that you'll talk about forever and a day. Because what's happening for me on this week, I will talk about for the rest of my life. Because it was a promise, and because I got me out of the way, and I trusted God, and I was obedient, because he called me to prayer at a strange hour. I was tired. I was sleepy. I didn't feel like praying. I was like, Lord, I'm okay. I'm coming. Speak to me, God. What is it that you have me to say? What is it that you want to share with me? And I just began just to talk to him. He didn't have that much to say. He just wanted to see if I was going to get up and get into his presence, and I did. And floodgates open. Now, of course, the enemy came forth. He's trying to stop my flow. He's trying to stop our flow, but he has no power. There is nothing that can make me turn my back on God. There is nothing that can make me doubt him for who he is. He is awesome. He's magnificent. And my prayer is that God, let the fruit of the Spirit be on display in my life. When people walk past me, that they see you. When somebody lying on me, I'm not reacting. I'm just going to my fruit basket and I'm pulling out a piece of you. And when people lie on me, when they mistreat me, I'm going to my fruit basket and I'm pulling out a piece of you. I want people to see you. I don't care about you seeing me. I want you to see God in my life. That's why I share my testimony. Not because I need nobody to feel sorry for me. You don't have to feel sorry for me. I'm good. But I want you to see the victory in my life. You know, people just say, yeah, you let a man do it. Yeah, but look at the man I got now, though. He bad to the bone. Take care of me. I work because I want to work, not because I have to. He takes care of me. You don't have to beg a man to be a man. He's going to be that because he's a man. Well, I remember you was catching the bus. Yep, I did catch the bus. Yep, I sure did. But look what I'm doing now. I drive 2014. Well, I did used to sit around cry all the time. I don't know more, though. I'm happy in God. I know who I am. And because I sought him first, he added things to me. Things that cannot be replaced, things that cannot be taken away. Things, they're just things. But I have something from him that can never be taken away by anybody. Because his love is eternal. The love of God is eternal. And I don't care what happens, what comes, what goes. My God, his love is eternal. And because we know a love like that, his fruit, his characteristics, should be on display in our life. Because don't be like the fig tree, not bearing fruit. Because the guardian of the vineyard, he's walking through, and he's looking to see what's bearing fruit and what's not bearing fruit. And he's checking our roots. He's looking at our vines. He's looking at the trees. Don't be like the fig tree and not be bearing fruit. Because he's going to be like, you know what, cut it down. If you're not willing to do the work of the kingdom, you're not willing to do what God told us to do, then we serve no purpose. We're not here for us. We're not here for us. I don't care what nobody told you. You're not here for you. This is not about you. And don't show up to the finish line by yourself. Bring somebody with you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word on tonight. God, we thank you for your everlasting love. God, we thank you that your love is eternal. Lord God, forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Jesus. God, thank you for loving us enough that you would send a word to help us turn around our ways. God, thank you for loving us enough that you gave your only begotten Son, dear God. Thank you for loving us enough that you love, God, you love us beyond how we love ourselves. You see more in us than we even see in ourselves. And, Father, for that we love you. We lift you up on tonight, dear God. We pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would lead, order, and guide our every footstep, Lord God, and that you would stop by, dear God, stop by our homes, stop by our jobs, stop by our places of worship, and, oh, God, that you would magnify the fruit that is in our life. Make us bigger in you, God. Give us more love. Give us more long-suffering. Give us more temperance, God, that you can be on display in our life, that people don't see apples, oranges, and bananas and pears, but they see the love of God shining through in our life. That when things come to upset us, that we still have a smile because we still trust in you. We trust in you to be God, and we believe that you know all things. You are in control of all things. And, God, we thank you for the journey along the way. We thank you for life's experiences, God. We thank you for every pitfall and every downfall, oh, God. We thank you for every ditch and pit experience, oh, God, because we know that those moments were merely temporary. But, God, now we're going into the palace, and, God, now we're going to the places that you have set us in, and your promises are coming to pass in our life. And God, we thank you now, dear God, that you didn't leave us stranded. You didn't leave us out in the middle of the storm without a covering, God. You didn't leave us in the midst of the storm able to walk on the water by ourselves. You kept us, oh God, and you held our hand, and you carried us to victory. And God, we honor you for that, oh God, and we love you, dear God. Lord, help us to walk in victory. Help us to walk in love. Dear God, please cultivate the fruit of your Spirit in us, oh God, that we're not offending people, but we're loving people back whole, oh God, that we're loving the people back into the place that you have called them. And, dear God, have mercy upon us, dear God. Show us ourselves before you show us anybody else, and have your way in us, oh God. Breathe upon every ministry that's represented on tonight, oh God. Remember every household of faith, God, has been called and ordained by you. Father God, we love you on tonight. We thank you for your healing hand, oh God. We thank you for protecting us. We thank you for covering us, oh God. We thank you for protecting us from all hurt, harm, and danger. We thank you for who you are in our life. We thank you for life, health, and strength on tonight, oh God. Oh, glory to your name, Jesus. We thank you, oh God, that although the enemy sought to kill us, you declared us to live. You decreed us to live. You loved us to live. You willed us to live, and we shall not die before our time. And Father God, rest with us on tonight, dear God. Whisper and speak to us. Give us our next move in you, oh God. Lay the blueprint out upon our spirit and upon our mind. God, give us the spirit of endurance and give us the spirit of excellence to finish what we start. And it's in the matchless name of Jesus Christ we do pray, and for his precious name's sake, amen. We love you, Pioneer's Table. We pray that you stay encouraged, amen, that you will tune back in with us tomorrow night at 8 o'clock p.m. We're going to be here in the same place, just at a different time, amen. And thank you for pausing in your evening to come and to listen to what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to us, amen, because we can't keep shouting and dancing, amen, and we're not having no revelation. And we have a lot of information, but we don't have no revelation of what the Spirit of the Lord is really saying. Because there's some place you can't dance your way in. You have to submit your way through. Amen. And we thank God for his words on tonight. We thank him for his spirit of love and his spirit of excellence. And it is our prayer, amen, that God has his perfect way in your life and that you continue to be encouraged. You continue to walk with your head up. You continue to walk in confidence and knowing who God is and who you are in him and who he is in your life. Love on somebody, okay? Let's change the temperature, amen, from arrogance and hatefulness to love, meekness, and purity. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we decree to be so. Amen. And pray that you tune back in with us on tomorrow night. Hug somebody. Tell them that you love them. And then we'll see and speak to your ear gates again real, real soon. We love you. Good night. God bless you. With your presence, Lord, I long to be.
lift up your hands and sing it out. Make that your prayer tonight. Say, empty me.